I wonder what will happen when historians look back at the year when America elected the next president. I wonder if it's going to change the course of our history. I wonder what's going to happen. I want you to know, beloved, I believe that this upcoming election is absolutely crucial because America is at the crossroads. We'll talk about it as we look at God's precepts for life. Welcome, beloved, to Precepts for Life. I have a table laden with papers and with books. And what I'm going to invite you to do is I'm going to invite you to pull up a chair and sit with me opposite this table, because I want to talk to you about some very, very serious issues. As you know, we've done a week of programs called America at the Crossroads. And there's more for us to see, more for us to learn. And this week, what we're going to do is we're going to look at how important it is that we elect the right man as the president of the United States of America. How do you determine who the right man is? Lay aside Democrat. Lay aside Republican. What America needs is America needs God's man for this hour, because America is at the crossroads. The second thing that I want us to see is that who we elect will tell us a lot about America. It will tell us a lot about our maturity, about our sensibility, about where our focus is. Is our focus on us? Do we want government to be our God? Do we want government to take care of every single need? Or are we willing to trust in God? Are we willing to turn to God? You know, what concerns me in all the research that I've been doing, it says, it's talking about the criticism of Christians. And it says that when they examined and did a poll on Americans, that a percentage of Americans said that they believed that the political efforts of conservative Christians are a major problem facing this country. Now, it was the least significant of the 10 issues that they explored, but nearly one out of every four Americans said that they believed that Christianity was a serious problem in the election process and in the governance of our country. That represents about 51 million adults. So do you realize this, that there are 51 million people in the United States of America, adults, that don't want your Christianity having anything, any influence at all on the status of America or the status of the government or on the status of our morals. They don't want it. They want to push us into a corner. So the question is, will you be pushed? Will you be intimidated? The other question is will you get up off your seat? Will you get up and will you do something? Will you be active? Will you go to the polls? Will you realize that you have a responsibility as a citizen of the United States of America to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, as Jesus put it in his day? You have been given the privilege of living in the United States of America. You have been given the privilege of living in a so-called democracy. Now, are you going to take an active role, or are you going to be passive? And listen very carefully. If you're passive, if you say, I don't like either one of the candidates, so I'm not going to vote, just remember, a no vote is a vote. You say, well, I'm going to write in my own person. Well, you can write in your own person, but you know it's not going to do any good. You say, but it's my statement. Your statement to who? They don't know what goes on behind that curtain when you're voting. So you better decide which is the better of the two candidates for the United States of America and take a stand. The third thing that you're going to see, and we're going to talk about, is, okay, what can I do as a genuine follower of Jesus Christ? Are my hands tied? Are we going to be a victim of who the media wants and who the media is going to promote and who the media is going to protect? Are we going to be the product of a biased media? Or are we going to be our own man and our own woman? And is it possible to do that? I believe it's possible. We're going to talk about things that you and I can do in the strategic year in the United States of America. Now, I want you to know that we left off last week looking at Ezekiel chapter 14, where God is telling what happens when a nation sins against God. We have to realize that there is a God in heaven and we are accountable to Him. He's not just holding, as I said last week, He's not just holding Israel accountable because that is His chosen people, His chosen nation, but all the nations of the earth are held accountable before God. Just as I've been praying for days and thinking and preparing to teach this week's lesson, Psalm 2 has come back to me over and over and over again. And I think it would be good for us to look at this psalm and just stop and think about what God is saying and how it relates to today. It says, why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. This is what's happening in this poll, in when they polled these 10 issues, and this was the least of the important of those issues to these people. But 51 million adults are saying, get their fetters off of us. We don't want anything to do with Christianity. We don't want Christianity influencing us. You know, we've got to go back and we've got to see, what is the spiritual heritage of the United States of America? Why are we one of the greatest nations on the face of the earth? Why is it that everybody wants to immigrate to the United States of America? There has to be a reason. Why has God brought America to this point in history? Why has America lasted this long? Why has America been blessed like very few other nations on the face of this earth? I mean, you look at America and you look at the style of living versus the countries where it is a Muslim-dominated country, and you will see a great difference in the style of living. So you go back and you have to look at our heritage. What is our heritage? What is our spiritual heritage? Well, we have a book. I have a book in front of me, and I want to tell you about it. It is a book called A Spiritual Heritage Tour of the United States Capitol. I've had the privilege of going with David Barton and his wife through the rotunda and through the Capitol with them on two different occasions. They're dear people. They have studied precept and they have taught it to their children. And this man is just a walking history book. History of the United States of America. And he takes you into that rotunda and he has you look at the pictures that were put in that rotunda that show major events in the history of the United States of America. And one of the things that you see is you see a picture of the embarkation of the pilgrims in 1620. The pilgrims are kneeling in prayer. They are committing their endeavor to God. And in the center of that picture, there's a Bible. It's a Geneva Bible. And that Geneva Bible, and you have to remember that the printing press was developed in the 1400s. So now more people could have their own copy of the Word of God. This was the favorite Bible of the pilgrims, the separatists, the dissenters, and the Puritans. These groups believed that there was much corruption in the organized church. And you know what? Of the 16th century. And there's much corruption in the organized church in the United States of America today. And they wanted to go back to the Bible. What is this program all about? It's knowing God's precepts for life. Through thy precepts, he says, I get understanding and I hate every false way. But what these people did, it says many of the church's practices had become anti-biblical. They objected to those corrupt practices, and therefore they were called dissenters. Some dissenters dedicated themselves completely to God and separated themselves from the church and its objectionable practices. Consequently, they were called separatists, while other dissenters sought to cleanse and purify the church from within. They were called Puritans. But what I want you to see, and what you'll see as you get this book, you're going to see that America had a strong, rich, biblical heritage. America was established by a group of people, and as you go through those pictures around the rotunda, you say, I would love to go, but I don't know if I'll ever get there. Well, you can get a spiritual heritage tour of the United States Capitol. The publisher is Wall Builders, and the author is David Barton, and you can get that book, and you can take a tour, and you can see what this country was founded on. It was founded on a fear of God. It's not like the nations that are taking counsel against the Lord, not the nations that are like when you get Iran together with Syria and others, and they want to drive the Jews into the sea, and they hate America. What are they hating? They're hating the fact that we are believers in God, not all of us. But that's the foundation of this country, that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that belief has changed our life. Oh, there's so much more in Psalm 2. We'll look at it in just a minute, but don't miss this announcement that will tell you how to walk away with tools that will help you be all that you should be as salt and light in these critical days. Welcome back, beloved. America is at the crossroads. And America is at the crossroads because America, in a sense, it collectively has turned its back on God. The difference between the values of adults, I mean the older adults and the younger adults, is just hard to imagine. We have so shaken off what we would call, or what they would call, the restraints of the Word of God, of the Bible, of Christianity. And we have descended into a pit that we have dug with our own hands. What's happened is America is becoming more and more like other nations. We want to shake off the fetters of Christianity, of morality. We want to do our own thing. We say in regard to abortion, it's my body. I have a right to choose. We are a greedy people. We are a people that are hungry for power. We are a people that, instead of leaning on God, are leaning on the government. We want the government to take care of us. We're in dire trouble. And as Psalm 2 says, when we become like these nations that have said we want the fetters of God off of us, we want to sit in our own council and we want to do our own thing, then it says in verse 4 that he who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger. God has been trying to get the attention of the United States of America. God's trying to get the attention of the world. The calamities and the disasters that have happened are not something of man's doings, and they're not something of Mother Nature. But if a calamity occurs in a city, as we saw last week, has not the Lord done it? So all the tornadoes and the floods and the crop failures all that is happening in the United States of America and around the world is a wake-up call. God is speaking to us. It says, then he will speak to them in his anger. He will terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell the decree of the Lord. It says, he said to me, you are my son. Who's speaking right now? Jesus is speaking. Jesus is speaking in a pre-incarnation message, a prophetic thing, saying, he said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. What is God going to do? He's going to install his king on his holy mountain, and his holy mountain is Jerusalem. Someday, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When he comes the second time, he's coming with judgment. He is coming with wrath. He is coming to show the world that he alone is God, and they need to bow the knee. They need to kiss the Son. Because God is going to install his holy king upon his holy mountain. Yes, now God is over the election of presidents. And sometimes he gives us an evil person in order to allow us to have what we have sown to the flesh. As we have desired, as we have sown to the flesh, so it comes upon us. So this is very critical. America is at the crossroads. He says, ask of me. God is saying, ask of me to the Son. I will surely give you the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possession. He says, you shall break them with a rod of iron. Remember I said the second time he comes for judgment. The first time he came for salvation. The first time he came riding on a donkey, offering peace. The second time he comes, he's riding on a white horse, conquering and to conquer, to rule on the face of this earth. He says, you shall shatter them like earthenware. Now, therefore, O kings, show discernment. Now, therefore, O America, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth, you that are sitting on these so-called thrones of or places of judgment, of making decisions, of deciding the fate of a child, or deciding the fate of someone accused of murder, or deciding the fate of someone that has been, that has raped or stolen or whatever, sitting or in a, even a business situation. Listen, judges of the earth, there is a righteous judge, and he is a God of justice, and he requires justice from us. So he says, take warning, O judges of the earth, worship the Lord with reverence. Don't take things underneath the table. Worship the Lord. To worship the Lord means you bow before God and you do it with reverence. You respect him for who he is. You honor him for his character and for what the Bible says about him. He is Almighty God. And so it goes on to say, rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he become not angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. And see, this is what I want you to understand. His wrath may soon be kindled. And you and I need to get up. We need to wake up. We need to be revived. We need to listen to God. We need to repent. We need to have a change of mind and a change of direction about the way that we are living and what our values are, and what value we place on character and integrity. How are you going to vote? Are you going to vote because you think that they can give you what you want? Or are you going to vote for a man of integrity? Are you going to vote for a man that has character, a man that has values, a man that will not be bought? Are you going to vote for someone that is going to be as straight as an arrow? They may not be exactly everything you want them to be, but which of the two candidates, the two major candidates, is the candidate that comes closest to the word of God? You've got some decisions to make. It says, his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all those who take refuge in him. You know, as I sit at this table and I pick up all my papers and I look at them, what are the problems that America is facing? Their poverty, their the personal debt, their HIV, their AIDS, their economic issues that are reaching the crisis level. Precious ones, America is at the crossroads. And you know what America is made up of? It's made up of Americans. What kind of an American are you? Are you an American that fears God? Are you an American that wants to go back to the heritage? Are you that God has given us in the Word of God and that our forefathers founded this country on? What kind of American are you? We'll talk about it more in our next lesson. But think on these things. Girls, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I know that life is really demanding right now, and that there are lots of pressures. And what I do every day is I cry, help, Lord. I want to be the woman you want me to be in this situation. And I'm sure that that's the way you feel. I say, help, Lord. I need peace. I need understanding. I need hope. Well, that happens to be the title of our women's conference. It's coming October 21st through the 23rd. And we want to invite you to come. I can see you and eat with you and have fellowship with you and open the Word of God along with other women who have been in all sorts of varied situations. We're going to teach you the Word of God, and we're going to bring you, I pray, into a relationship with God that will strengthen you for the days ahead. Come and join us. I would love to put my arms around your neck. Well, beloved, as we bring today's program to a close, What is the precept for life that you need to take away with you? It is this, that man doesn't live by bread alone. He lives by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You have just looked at Psalm 2, and it says, "How blessed are all those who take refuge in him." Do you realize that our early founding fathers took refuge in God? Do you realize that a great majority of them were fearers of God? If you get David Barton's book, A Spiritual Heritage Tour of the United States Capitol, he'll show you picture after picture after picture in those great paintings, and he will give you the history of those people and their fear and their respect of God. And you know what? There are lessons to be learned there. And I think one of the main lessons for you and me to learn is this, that we need to pray that there would be a new arising of a Christian culture of people who take God seriously, who take His Word seriously, and who love Him, fear Him, respect Him, trust Him above all else, and that they will begin to speak accordingly, to live accordingly, to act accordingly, to let their voice be heard in these last critical days. You know, as I look at this, I think about a man by the name of Winthrop, who was a Speaker of the House when John Quincy Adams died. And he said, "All societies of men must be governed in some way or the other. The less they have of stringent state government, the more they must have of individual self-government. The less they rely on public law or physical force, the more they must rely on private moral restraint. Men, in a word, must necessarily be controlled, either by a power within them or by a power without them, either by the word of God or by the strong arm of man, either by the Bible or the bayonet. It may do for other countries and other governments to talk about the state supporting religion. Here, under our own free institutions, it is religion which must support the state." Oh, beloved, may we return to our spiritual roots. May we at the crossroads fear God.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.
Forty-five years ago, Precept Ministries was born in a little valley in Tennessee, in a barn actually. Since then, it has grown and crossed oceans and borders to 180 countries and over 70 languages. But many people still don't know, what is Precept? Precept Ministries International is a network of people who see the Word of God as essential for knowing, loving, and following Him in daily life. Precept writes Bible studies using an inductive study method so that people can discover the truth of God's Word for themselves, rather than just reading or listening to someone else's thoughts and interpretations. That sounds great if you have the time, right? That's the hard part. The clock running away from us and an endless to-do list. If we let it, not having enough time for the things that matter will define our lives. Precept Ministries wants to walk differently with you, pointing you to Jesus continually. Our mission is for people to be established in God's Word. Precept is for the 9-to-5 workers, the 8-to-3 students, and the 24/7 parents. It's for the people with questions. It's for disciple makers. It's for the church and the community. It's for you.